The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Relations between Australia and China are at an all-time low. Having hosted Chinese Premier Xi Jinping as recently as 2017, the two countries now find themselves involved in a bitter trade dispute. Relations went into freefall last year after Australia became the first country to call for an independent inquiry into the origins of COVID-19. We're joined by Eric Bagshaw from the Sydney Morning Herald. Eric, good morning and welcome.
Good to be with you, Pat.
A lot of things probably have contributed to this. We can go back as far as 2018 and the decision by the Australian government to ban Huawei from the rollout of 5G.
That's right. That was the key decision that Australia really made ahead of the rest of the world. I know in the UK they're currently, well, I've been having that debate more recently, but Australia did it in 2018. They made the decision not to allow Huawei to participate in the 5G network rollout, basically because they believed they couldn't mitigate the security risk of Huawei being asked to potentially collect data, potentially spy, and potentially compromise Australian security networks if it was allowed into the 5G network, which is going to be a much more advanced mobile network than anything we currently have. Mm. So that decision was taken. And then really from then, Australia has kind of been seen as this guinea pig, really, it's in terms of how China responds to countries that might try and stand up to it.
You've been critical in Australia of the treatment of the Uyghur people.
Well, that's right. I mean, and Australia has been quite vocal on both the Uyghurs and the sort of erosion of democracy in Hong Kong. You know, there is some criticism, and probably some of it's fair enough, in that Australia didn't do enough to get a coalition of countries concerned about those issues at the same time. It also didn't really get a coalition of countries together before it called for an independent inquiry into the coronavirus. So Australia kind of stuck its head out. And you've got to remember that, you know, it's a country of 25 million people. China's a country of 1.4 billion. You know, we kind of looked a bit like a sort of an uppity island nation daring to stand up to this great and powerful nation. So that put us now in a difficult position.
There had been, if you like, a confluence of interests. Many companies in Australia did well out of Chinese business. The Chinese bought into a lot of Australian natural resources, to the dismay, it has to be said, of many people. But, you know, many people in Australia actually profited from the relationship with China. Are they vocal in objecting to this new standoff?
It's been a difficult learning curve, I think you could say. They are, as the relationship has gotten more and more strained, business is increasingly becoming vocal about the need to repair the relationship. For the first year or so, I think it was more on a unity ticket. They realised that China was punishing Australia through economic sanctions. There's about $20 billion worth of trade strikes on Australian products across things like lobster, wood, coal, all of these products worth billions of dollars a year that can't get into China at the moment. And so the business community also felt like it was being bullied. But as time has gone on, the reality is that a lot of those industries are hurting. People are losing jobs. And when people lose jobs, they talk to their local politician and they say, look, we need to fix this because my business, my lobster fishing business, is going underwater. So that means that the pressure is certainly starting to rise, both from the business community, but also the political community that is hearing some of those concerns.
How long can China persist with this? Because clearly it was buying these products from Australia because it needed them for its own economy. Can they afford to, well, first of all, can they find this stuff elsewhere at the same kind of price and availability? Or are they just going to tough it out until Australia, in a sense, capitulates and shuts up?
The big question at the moment is iron ore. All of those other products, Australia can both export them to other places. So a lot of the coal, for example, has gone to Japan and South Korea. The lobsters have gone to Taiwan and other parts of Asia. But excuse me, iron ore is iron ore is an $80 billion a year export for Australia. It's by far its largest export, and no one buys as much iron ore as China. At the moment, China has to use Australian iron ore to sustain its economy because iron ore makes steel, steel makes buildings. That's how you stimulate growth after a coronavirus pandemic. There's nowhere else that produces that level of iron ore, except for Brazil, but they had huge natural disasters that wiped out their production, and Africa, where really the mines haven't been tapped yet. So Australia is still very dominant in that market, which means that until that happens, you would say that really I think people are just going to keep coasting along with the status quo. Those other products will find other export markets. And really, right now, the situation is that Australian ministers cannot pick up the phone to their Chinese counterparts. There is no dialogue at a government-to-government level whatsoever, and very little diplomatic dialogue below that. So it's a very tricky and sensitive situation. And unfortunately, there are also no Australian journalists left in China. So it means, you know, we've got less visibility of probably one of the most important, debates in the world right now. But, political and diplomatic tensions have led us to that situation.
Now, I mentioned earlier that China was a big investor in, buying up companies, buying up natural resources, buying up property in the major cities. Has that stopped? And is there a backlash against the impact of Chinese money on property prices?
Look, I mean, certainly pre-pandemic, Chinese property investors were a huge factor in the Australian property market, or at least that was the perception, that a lot of money was coming out of mainland China and driving up apartment housing prices across Australia. And that was really when times were good. You know, there was heaps of Chinese money coming in. Everyone was happy to do business. Now, of course, with COVID and everything, a lot of that people-to-people communication has shut down. And I think we will see a reduction in what was a huge number of Chinese migrants coming to Australia as a whole. But the interesting thing is, at the same time, property prices have continued rising despite a pandemic. So perhaps all these theories about Chinese buyers pushing up property may have been a bit mislaid.
How long do you expect this to last? I mean, is this a spat or is this a medium to long term deterioration in relations?
No, I think this is now at least a medium term. Australia took another significant step after it had already known it had really angered China by calling for the coronavirus inquiry, by banning Huawei, and then it tore up a deal that Victoria, one of our largest states, did with China under the Belt and Road deal, which is a huge infrastructure, multi-trillion-dollar agreement across the world and particularly across Asia. And the federal government went in and actually forcibly tore up that contract. And I think when they took that decision, the third significant national interest decision, it said to China, we're not interested in doing business with you anymore. And when China hears something like that, it means that, I think we're going to be in at least the next decade of kind of very strained, if not non-existent, relations.
On that note, Eric Bagshaw, correspondent with the Sydney Morning Herald, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.